I was humiliated. I had to lean over and let them take samples from inside me. I had to be examined. I had to let them stick their fingers into the place that was so fucking sore that it just been. Listen, this sounds like a joke, doesn't it? This doesn't sound real, does it? I know. I wasn't allowed to take a shower before they did any of this. I had to stand there with her smell still on me. They had charts and wrote down everything possible about my horrible body and its condition. They had to do x-rays to make sure nothing was damaged on the inside. I was working on a joke about a fart joke expert, and then I was in the hospital getting an x-ray of my rectal lining. I came back into my house the next day, a changed man. I found it exactly the way I'd left it the day before. My journal still laid out on the table, untouched. The paint scratched off the radiator where I tried to claw through. Tell me how a man's supposed to live after something like that. Tell me. Maggie and her majesty had a different effect on me after that. The sight of her brought me no joy. I'd leave group here, all jokes and smiles and shit, head home, drink a liter of wild turkey, and walk out into the woods to see her. All she reminded me of was those happy fucking trees on that dress. I started to go see Maggie every night while drunk and piss on her. You know what I would have done to that bitch if I could have? I'd say to Maggie, I would have broken every inch of her. I would have cut off all her hair and made her choke on it. I would have ripped her apart from her ribs with my bare fucking hands. I would have raped her worse. Maggie never said anything back to me, gave me no sign she was listening or cared. I reminded her that it was a member of her own family that violated me. That broomstick. In my drunk, traumatized mind, she was somehow complicit. One night after visiting her, I went home and got my garden hose out of the shed. Remember how I told you I'd only thought about it? I lied. I climbed Maggie and tied the hose from her lowest branch, which was still 10 feet off the ground, easy. I tied all the right knots and dropped my sorry ass from her limb. I was ready to die. Not 3 seconds in, the branch broke, and I hit the ground, gasping for air. Christ, I was thankful, but also confused. That's a big fucking branch I chose, steady enough for me to stand on the fucking thing, and it didn't even bend. So why did it just break off completely like that? Had Maggie done it on purpose? I stared up at her giant elbows, and I swear she was staring down at me with pity. I couldn't cry. I was too fucking angry to cry. Why'd she interfere? I went back to my house in a drunken rage and into the shed out back, got my chainsaw, drank some more, went back and stared her down. I screamed at her to stop looking at me. When she wouldn't, I took the saw to her gut. Even in that state, I could feel the entire forest open its thousands of eyes and gasp. Maggie's leaves fell over me as she trembled, like hands trying to pull me away. I woke up the next morning at her foot. I blacked out right there, the chainsaw still stuck in her like a rose in a bullfighter's mouth. I'd only managed to get about halfway through it. That's how big she was. That's how pathetic I was. I threw up immediately. Couldn't believe what I'd done. I still can't. I wedged the blade out from between her sapwood, and she creaked in pain. Her blood ran down the side of her trunk. I touched its sugared ooze. I wanted to kill myself all over again. I wanted to put her out of her misery and finish the job, then run to her falling side and let her crush me to death. I'd read somewhere you can dress a tree's wounds just like a human, so I ran home, my head fucking pounding, and grabbed everything I had. hydrogen peroxide, manure compost, a bag of fireplace ashes, and saran wrap. I made a kind of makeshift bandage, first cleaning and disinfecting her wound, then packing it with a paste-like mixture of ash and manure. Then I wrapped it up in cellophane. That day, I quit drinking. I checked on her daily for weeks. Every day, she looked weaker. I took the cellophane off to let the wound breathe. Bugs attacked it. A couple of times, the rain completely washed the dressing out from between her, and I had to start all over again. She never really fully bloomed over the end of the summer. Her bark grew a strange color and began to dry. I'd take a chair out there and sit next to her and rub oils on her and tell her I was sorry for what I'd done. One morning, I woke up to a strong wind outside. I had to close all the windows and tie down the tarp over my gardening supplies. I was in the kitchen when I heard a roaring, sharp snap come from deep in the woods. A family of deer came tearing through the yards, and my windows rattled. A few seconds later, the entire house shook. It sounded like a shuttle re-entering the Earth's atmosphere. I knew. I knew right then Maggie was gone. I ran out to find her long body lying in the arms of several trees standing around her. They didn't let her touch the ground. What I'd done was murder. Her fresh, fully exposed stump was spitting up sap like some kind of weak fountain. Mrs. Beckett had also heard the sound and came running. When she saw Maggie down, she dropped to her knees and started screaming. I'm telling you this story because everyone who loved Maggie and cared for her believed it was the gusts that took her life that day. But it was me. I took her life. I took her life because I thought my life was taken from me, because I was drunk, because I was angry, a stupid fucking angry Neanderthal, a weakling, a chicken shit. I've never admitted I was the one who felled her. Maggie, the magnificent maple tree, but I'm admitting it now. Her body still hangs there, suspended in midair in the arms of her family. How can you go on living when you're now being lived in, when you've been invaded? How can you tell a joke and enjoy laughter without hearing the one laugh that owns every root in you now? How can you accept air into the lungs from the very perennials whose life you've taken? How can you forgive the person, the woman who raped you, who has no face to forgive, who has no intention to understand, who is nowhere forever and everywhere inside you for eternity? How can you forgive yourself? How can you enjoy the trees and not plead continuous fucking guilt to them? How can you end your own suffering without ending completely? How can you accept touch or walk through your life, a lived wound, forever avoiding some terrible, inevitable wind?
May 15th, 2016. Miss Broskov. I felt compelled to write you after appearing on Friday's segment, as I was extremely upset about what happened. You promised me we would not go over the details of my assault, but would instead discuss the broader topic of the culture that surrounds what happened to me. Do you know how it feels to be asked on live television about whether my attacker grunted during the assault, or to insinuate I somehow might have asked for this because I was having drinks at a bar without my wife after work? You might say that that's not what Melissa Hope was insinuating, but don't insult my intelligence. And to ask me such deeply personal questions like that on air about my children. You promised me you wouldn't do that, and now I'm back where I started, reliving the whole experience. It's all fucked up again. It has taken every bit of strength I have to even get to the point where I could talk about this publicly. I should start my own show if this is the way journalists behave, if this is the respect you show survivors. Donald. May 16th, 2016. Mr. Ellis. Kindly reread our correspondence. I made no such promise. I am sorry you had a bad experience, but if it's any consolation, our ratings were fantastic for your segment, and I do believe your appearance, while difficult for you, was for the greater good and will benefit us all in the long run. Yours, Marcia. P.S. You are such a smart guy, a great voice to your community. Let us know when you signed a deal. We want an exclusive.
Part 4. Yeah. Yeah, hi. This message is for the editor of your publication, of the Dispatch National Newspaper. Listen, I'm just wondering, Mr. Editor, I have a question for you. How would you feel? Yeah, you. You, tell me, since you have all the answers, how would you feel if this happened to someone you loved and a paper wrote about it in the detail that you did? How, you piece of shit? You can't just do things to people, you know? We aren't currency. We aren't. God, we are trying to live, Morris. Do you know that? My friend Jamar is trying to live, and you just want us dead. It's better for your word count if we are brutalized, shamed, humiliated, you want us under the ground, don't you? How many shovels do you own, you fucking prick? How many of our fucking skeletons do you need to dig up? Leave us alone, man. Leave Jamar Sands the fuck alone. We're not, fuck you, Morris, goodbye. Just stay away from us.
1. Pear keeps calling. He keeps leaving messages asking me to pick up. I can't answer the phone. I'm watching reruns of Seinfeld and the dispatches in my lap, my face staring up at me. Victim. Who is this person? This victim. Jamar. Who am I? A source told the dispatch Mr. Sands was found covered in blood and bodily fluids at the scene of the crime, yet authorities stated they found no open wounds on his body. When reached for comment, Detective Warlock declined, stating it was an ongoing investigation. The dispatch did, however, confirm from a friend of the victim that the blood and bodily fluids belonged to a deceased cat that was found outside Mr. Sands' apartment. The dispatch did, however. Monsters. What kind of newspaper talks about itself in third person? What friend told them this? Who would do such a thing? Below the paper, something moves underneath my shirt. I lift it up and look at all the scars on my stomach. Comets caught in ice. Something sticks out of my belly button. Something thin and pink. Like a tongue. It is a tongue. With not a single suspect arrested in almost a year, Detective Warlock was released from the case earlier this week. John Oretta, deputy director of the FBI's Violent Crime Unit, resumed the investigation, releasing a statement that said in part, "The perpetrator will be brought to justice in a court of law, and I'm here to make that happen." Mr. Sands was said to have met the perpetrator on the dating app OkCupid, where she went by the username Maud. Earlier this week, the dispatch confirmed an account on the website with the username Maud registered to one Maud Sands. According to sources, the account has been inactive since January of this year, the month in which Mr. Sands' assault took place. The FBI declined to comment on whether this was, in fact, the account used to lure Mr. Sands, and whether it was just a coincidence that the account holder has the same last name as Mr. Sands. In an effort to make contact with the perpetrator, a reporter from the dispatch reached out to the account belonging to Maud for comment. No response has been received. Maud Sands? She used my name? Why does she use my last name? Does she know me? God, she knows me, doesn't she? The tongue moves slowly around my stomach, then slips back inside me. The muscles around my lower back begin to seize. The whole room reddens raw. I throw the newspaper on the ground and stare with terror at the sight of it. The black hole where my belly button used to be. My ribs clench. Teeth mince. More muscles seize. contract and release. I am floating in an abyss of absence, used to lure Mr. Sands. I lean forward and look at the hole in me. Something small and green shines back. An eye. It blinks. I cover my mouth. The room goes blind, the room no longer seeing me in it. They reached out to it for comment? To her? They went on there and reached out to her? They tried to talk to her? Why would they do that? Why did they fucking do that? I lean back on the couch. Long, crooked fingers pour out of my hull like spider legs. Its nails are painted red. The fingers spread me. A scalp emerges, then a head. It is covered in the meat of me. It is covered in who I am. Her wrists steady themselves on my hips and pull her body out from inside mine. She stands over me, dripping, glazed with the shades of my organs, her face invisible behind the blood glass. I weep and tell her I love her. I love you. Is this how you love me? I do not love her, but she owns me. I have come apart. I am an owning. She says nothing. She pulls her hair out from the hole in my stomach. It is longer than an intestine. It is longer than an umbilical cord. I am exhausted, broken, prayed. She opens her mouth and leans toward mine. I enter her. She swallows me. First my face, then my shoulders, then my ass, and my feet. I slide down into her throat. My body curls into itself and swings in her warm stomach as she walks. Where are you taking me, Maud? What are you going to do with me now? I am inside her forever. I am the predator now. I am the assaulter. I am the power now. Are you going to lock me in your chat room, Maud? Can I say goodbye to my sister first? I lie in her body and just listen to her breathe. When I wake up, the newspaper is still in my lap. The scar is still on my stomach. On TV, someone tells Julia Louis-Dreyfus she looks like she's just seen a ghost.
Part 5. Joshua _ Dispatch. Dear Maud, my name is Joshua Greenfield, and I am a reporter with the Dispatch newspaper. In the event you ever check this OKCupid account again, we would love to get a statement or comment from you regarding your relationship with Jamar Sands, Donald Ellis, or Pero Sullivan. Specifically, we would love to hear from you directly regarding your motives. Perhaps one of these men did something to you at one point. Perhaps you have your own history with violent men. Were you yourself ever sexually abused or harmed? Anything you'd like to share with us would be greatly appreciated and would be printed verbatim. Alternatively, if there is anything you'd like to tell us off the record, we are open to that as well. My personal email address, should you not want to leave such a statement here, is josh.s.greenfield@gmail.com. Looking forward to hearing from you, and thank you for considering this. Best, Joshua. Maud is offline.
1. You know who I am, don't you? I know you do. What's your name? Never mind, you don't need to tell me, I already know. You know, contrary to what you might think of me, why you might be here, there was a time I actually loved women. I swear to you, Sebastian White wasn't always an uptight anti-muff fag doing Dom Perignon jello shots on some daddy's yacht off the coast of France. Okay, maybe I haven't done that yet, but God, a girl can dream. I've always been the loudest queen in the room who loathes more than he loves. Doesn't everyone? You're such a liar if you say you don't. Hello, what are you looking for? My Pantene? My anal beads? Just kidding, I don't use Pantene. God, I can tell you're already no fun. It's just a joke.
Okay, where was I? Right.
Right, loathing. There's so much to loathe in this world. Wouldn't you agree? Islam, welfare leeches, Rachel Maddow, liberals. Ugh, Sean Penn. Anything with beets in it. Beets are vile. But more than any of that, as you know, I loathe feminists. It's by no small miracle that all feminists in America haven't been stoned to death by now. And I'm just telling you the truth. Feminists are pollution. Taking a stance against what exactly? No one in their right mind knows. They are angry, bitter, saggy chauvinists masquerading as supporting, loving sisters. Feminists and you women in general have it easy. Easy. Let me tell you, I'm not afraid to say that, even now. You want to see first world inequality? Try growing up a gay man in Alberta, Canada in the 70s. Easy, I tell you. Women by nature need something to complain about in order to make them feel like they matter. It's what they do. And they're always unhappy. Always. To repurpose John Lennon, if you don't believe me, just take a look at the one you're with. They hate their jobs, their fashion, their weight, their husbands, their children, their lack of children. Especially this new generation of non-breeding chronic feminists. A term I coined, thank you very much. Working horrid hours as assistants to prenuptial lawyers or whatever, just to claim some inane independence while their boyfriends make partner and pay for their rosé and tampons and pink pussy hats. I wrote an article about it for The Guardian. Chronic feminism is the end of the real woman. The end of the well-taken care of house. The end of the proper home-cooked meal. The end of marriage. It's the end of breast milk, for God's sake. No breast milk. I hope you're not a feminist. I can't imagine you are. You're actually intelligent. I don't have to know you to know that much is true. I can feel it. So, I think we can both agree that feminism is for the weak. I mean, wouldn't you say? I can keep talking. Believe me, I can do all the talking. Let me tell you something. You've read my columns, right? When I was younger, before I was a fabulously handsome homo who could live off of salad and dick for the rest of my life, I had a girlfriend named Jane. We were 16. She was righteously chubby with a big smile that just sort of fell off and broke across her face. And it's like a busted jar of pickled turnips or something. Jane had blonde hair, the shade of a dove's cunt, and she used to do her roots with Clorox bleach laundry detergent when she didn't have money. It was insane and fantastic. She had tits so big we used her cleavage as a drug compartment. Her tits were like Halloween. You reach in and find some new candy every time. I love Jane. We met at camp one summer and we became inseparable. She taught me how to type, giving me my first writing skill. Well, she taught me many things, honestly. How to sew chiffon, which is a blessed nightmare. Jane taught me how to be a straight-up bitch, but most important, Jane taught me, no, showed me, the art of the blowjob, which would later spin off into various other jobs I fell madly in love with. Hand jobs, cushy jobs, bang-up jobs, rim jobs, snow jobs, inside jobs, hum jobs, nose jobs. Looking back, it's obvious Jane was less my honey and more my hag. But I fucked her anyway. As I got older, I became keenly aware of two things. One, I hated having actual sex with her because, two, I was attracted to boys. You do know I'm gay, right? Not really your type, am I? Just saying. Anyway, Jane and I dated for 2 years until I turned 18, and the closet was like, you can't stay here anymore, dyke, you gotta go. So I broke up with her, and I came out in an op-ed in Talkies magazine. It was my favorite conservative website at the time. I wrote about being a gay in sheep's clothing, surrounded by a liberal army of unhappy homosexuals who hated me and my beliefs. Hated the fact that one of their own was a libertarian. Perhaps we couldn't agree on immigration reform, I argued, but we could definitely agree on the fact that vaginas are disgusting. I apologize, I know you have one, but honestly, they are. If you remember, I wrote that it was my sexual life with Jane that first made me keenly aware that I was different. that I didn't enjoy sex with her, but that I likely would rather never enjoy sex with any woman. I didn't use her real name, of course. I'm not a fucking monster. The article got quite the buzz, and why wouldn't it? It was ripe and fresh with honesty, and it set me apart from the liberal gay mafia, which is exactly what I wanted. Soon I had offers to write for everyone from Breitbart News to the humble libertarian. It was thrilling. I wrote essays, had columns in the Wall Street Journal and the National Review, became a regular commentator on Fox News, and the rest, as they say, is her story. That's me, her. You don't understand, do you? I'm not a bad person. I'm a freed person. Contrary to that thought, I'm actually fucking decent as hell because I'm honest. Brutally, yes, but come on. Don't you find it incredibly refreshing? I mean, wouldn't you rather I tell you I think you're an awful person? You are, by the way. I mean, just look at you right now, what you're doing, then lie to you and just because I'm scared of how you react? That's not me. I'm sorry. Really ask yourself if anything I've said so far is not true. It's just you and me here. It may be cruel, may be hard to hear, but it's not a lie. I'm not a liar. Look, I had to talk about Jane so readers could understand my own personal discovery better. It was an important detail in my trajectory. I always knew I had been attracted to men, but it wasn't until I dated a woman that I positively knew I was not on the hetero herd. And that's how you know. Why are you here, by the way? Why are you even here? I mean, I know this isn't just random. You clearly picked me specifically. You weren't just walking by, were you? You weren't. I know you weren't. I'm the perfect fodder for your misandry, your envy. You hate me, don't you? You do. You can say it. I know you do. You can say it. Say it. Say you hate me. Say, I hate you, Sebastian White. You know, I love Jane. I still do. I'll always love her. I know you must have had a Jane in your life at some point, right? I mean, come on, everyone does. A relationship that expires once someone turns into a sensitive lunatic, which, as you know, was the title of my first book. And people will completely freak out over your hard-earned success when you least expect it. Jealousy is mercurial, and it doesn't always show up the way you think it will. My experience with her also taught me that people's feelings will inevitably get in the way of almost every rational thought or action if they're allowed to. Like your feelings right now. Look at you. I can feel it. I can feel you thinking with your feelings. And this is why I protect my intellect and point of view at all costs. This right here. And Jane right there. And every chronic feminist I've had to sue for defamation in between. I am a provocateur. I am privileged, as the liberal snowflake would like to cry. Yes, I'm privileged. Privileged to say whatever the fuck I want, whenever the hell I want to. Free speech, honey. Free, beautiful speech. You must never allow yourself to be censored or silenced by those who get upset easily. By those who are what I call emotional polenta. Poor People's Food for Thought, which was the title of my second book, a New York Times bestseller. All right, I guess you're just going to sit there in silence and judge me, aren't you? How easy for you to do, considering this position I'm in, separated from you in the way that I am, blindfolded. Considering that you can hear me, but I can't hear you, because you won't speak. You know what that makes you, sweetie? A coward. Do you think I care? Hello? Are you still there? Have I made you angry with what I said? Do you think I deserve this? I just wanted to explain who I am and give some real context, not fake news context. If you've read about Sebastian White in the media, then you've surely gotten the wrong impression of who exactly Sebastian White is. You seem filled with spite, and I don't even know what you look like. I can feel it, though. Do you spite me? Some sort of vengeance where you'll enjoy my getting what I deserve? You know, I feel like you're close, but you're not answering me on purpose. And now, honestly, I'm just getting angry. Where are you? Are you in the room? Just get this over with, for fuck's sake. Is that you breathing or is that the fan? Hello? You know what? I don't even care anymore. Do whatever the hell you're gonna do with me, darling. I've suffered far worse, believe me. And when you're done, I'll have an incredible story of your pathetic revenge rampage for my next memoir, which is actually a great title, come to think of it. I will enjoy monetizing you. Oh, I will enjoy seeing you in court, and when they catch you, I'll sue your family and your friends when this is all over. You know that, right? You will have nothing. You will have...
Part 6. Jamarvelous 83. Are you there? I read that a reporter from the Dispatch reached out to you for a comment. What are you going to say, Maud? That you're a monster? That you're sick? That it's funny? Are you going to tell them why you did it? Why you did what you did to me? How about you tell me first? Go on. You owe me that much. Tell me. Tell me. Please. Tell me, motherfucker, why did you do this to me? Maud is offline.
1. Good evening, I'm your host, Melissa Hope, and thank you for joining me on BCN's number one primetime television talk show, covering all of America's most horrific stories and injustices right here on The Hope Show. Our top story tonight, male sexual assault. Another bombshell in the case that's rocked the nation over the last year, as controversial provocateur, author, and TV personality Sebastian White comes forward as the fourth victim to be attacked by an unidentified female predator known to federal investigators only as Maud, whose string of violent crimes against men seems to have no end in sight. Maud even has her own fan club, ladies and gentlemen, a vigilante online group who call themselves the Maudesters. As you know, this program landed an exclusive interview with Donald Ellis mere months after his assault and has continued to lead the charge with the most up-to-date information and coverage on this horrifying case as it continues to unfold. Joining me tonight on the Hope panel, Brenda Landowski, a forensic psychologist and former FBI investigator. Now a fellow BCN contributor. Welcome to the family, Brenda.
Thank you.
Jennifer Sampson, a criminal defense attorney. Mm. And Meryl Pichette, social media critic and blogger at everythingmen.com.
Thanks for having me, Melissa.
Absolutely. Brenda, let's jump right in. What the hell, Brenda?
Yes, yes. Oh, my God. What the hell is right? Listen, you know, in all my years at the Bureau, I don't think I ever saw such a whodunit. No, I mean, like, literally, like, who? I mean, this perpetrator has been covering their tracks.
Well, her.
Her, yes, her. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Her tracks incredibly well. I mean, you know, listen, minimal physical and serological evidence, mm-hmm. no prints, mm-hmm. no witnesses. Mm-hmm. It's hard not to sympathize with investigators here as they're struggling for anything, even remotely resembling a lead.
Sure, mm-hmm. sure.
I mean, if I were looking at these cases, if I was working them, I'd wonder if I was working with some kind of professional, Melissa.
Ooh. Oh, wow. Chills. Mm. Ooh. Yeah. I literally have chills here, Brenda.
Yeah.
All right, so give it to me hard, Hope style. Almost a year now, 4 victims, Donald Ellis, Watertown, New York, Per O'Sullivan, Springfield, Massachusetts, Jamar Sands, yeah. Albany, New York, and now Sebastian White, Westchester, right. New York. That is a stone's throw away from our Manhattan offices. Utterly terrifying. No leads, no arrests, no suspects. Now, what's the FBI's next move?
Yes, well, as you know, there have been some very disturbing details leaked to the press.
Yes, well, it's disgusting. Yeah. I mean, tell us about this, Brenda. I mean, they found a 6-foot-long hair, for Christ's sakes. This is disgusting.
Yeah.
I feel physically ill. Now, what kind of hygiene does this girl thing have?
Yeah, yeah. Well, So many questions remain, Melissa. So many. In fact, I would say all questions still remain. Listen, that hair and whatever else they might have, DNA-wise, haven't delivered any matches. Mm-hmm. So I'm imagining investigators are really scratching their heads at this point. Now, it's possible they may have a suspect they're not telling us about, but I haven't heard anything from any of my sources. It is as if this woman does not exist.
Okay. All right. Well, what about the circumstantial? Oh. Tell us about the crime scenes.
Yeah, well, I wish there was more to tell, Melissa. I really do. Everything I'm hearing sounds like, you know, uncompromised. Hmm. I don't think anyone has handled anything poorly here.
No one's accusing
anyone. No, there is no sign of crime scene contamination. There's no...
Sure.
I mean, look, it's frustrating, okay? It's frustrating for everyone involved. But this is just one of those cases for the ages, you know what I mean?
Yes, and you heard it here first, folks. One for the ages. Breaking live right here in your living rooms, ladies and gentlemen. All right, let's unleash the lawyer. Jennifer Sampson, come take a dive in Melissa's deep end. Drop your detective anchor. What do you make of these specific cases and the controversial circumstances surrounding how, in particular, please be specific here, how they occurred?
Really happy to be here. Thank you, Melissa. Listen, no one deserves to be the victim of a sexual assault.
Amen.
Agreed.
But doesn't this bring up another issue, Melissa?
I knew there'd be a but.
Yeah, but shouldn't people engage in common sense behavior? The first victim.
Common sense behavior, like don't rape an unconscious person?
Melissa? That's not... Melissa, what kind of sense does it make for anybody, a girl or a boy or anybody, to get stinking drunk to the point that you don't know what's going on? You have no consciousness about where you are or what you're doing. You're drinking with a random woman at a bar instead of being at home with your wife and kids.
Right.
And
you, right.
I mean, shouldn't people engage in some kind of behavior so as not to put themselves in a vulnerable position?
Mm-hmm. Of course, mm-hmm. We can all agree. You're absolutely right. But does that negate the fact that while he's unconscious, she rapes him?
Melissa, that's a form of conjecture. I don't have to tell you that. The second victim, Jamar Sands, was in an online chat room with this woman. He invited her over. They were drinking and engaging in sexual acts consensually, according to the victim's own statement.
Until it wasn't consensual, which...
We don't know that, Melissa. Okay, we don't know that. I mean, it appears the victim was into some strange kinky stuff with animal masks and this woman and the whole dead cat thing.
Oh, God. Oh, so now you're saying victim number two was a bad boy.
Ooh.
He was such a bad boy. He needs a spanking.
Yes.
Thanks.
I am not saying he was bad. I'm saying it was poor judgment.
No. Jennifer, let me ask you this then. What about victim number one, Donald Ellis? Now, if it was consensual, why did this woman just run away and leave Mr. Ellis lying there half-naked with blood and dirt all over his privates?
I don't know.
I mean, why did she do that if it was consensual?
But what I do know is that his judgment was seriously impaired, Melissa, and that by his own admission and scientific evidence, he had twice the legal amount of alcohol in his body.
I'm sorry. There are no mitigating factors when it comes to sexual assault, Jennifer. All right. Meryl Pichette, your chance to tick-tock on the Melissa Hope clock. Now's your time. Jennifer brings up an interesting point regarding being made to penetrate, which is, for viewers at home, the legal term in a court of law for the rape of a man by either a woman or another man. Meryl, tell me what your readers are saying and what you're reading on social media about this shocking story.
Thank you for having me, Melissa. First of all, our readers definitely have a lot to say here. The word mod has been trending on Twitter for about 3 days straight.
Wow.
And it's the most searched term on our website.
Mm.
But, I mean...
Social media.
Right?
Mm.
A lot of people are asking some really tough questions
now. Go on.
Well, it's like, okay... A lot of Americans want to know, how exactly this could have been rape. I mean, from purely a logical perspective, wouldn't a man have to... Okay, you know, I have to ask this.
It's
We're
okay.
all thinking it with
yeah.
all due respect to the victims.
Yeah, I understand.
Wouldn't
yeah.
a man have to get an erection mm-hmm. in order to be made to penetrate?
She's
right?
got a point.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
the
yeah.
point.
No, they're tough
it's
questions.
Just
I applaud you for going in deep here.
Thank you.
No, and I'm no expert on the male anatomy and how it functions.
Oh, well,
I'm,
you know what, Melissa, I am.
Okay,
well, guys. I know how it functions. I know you do, too.
Right,
you
right.
do, too.
I know my way around it. I know my way around it. All right.
And to be serious, there are just a lot of questions here. Like, for instance, why didn't these men just push the attacker off them? I mean, they are men.
Right.
You know? Mr. Sands is a young, handsome, assumedly strong guy.
Well, maybe not so strong after all.
Yeah, well, yeah, obviously, and that's why I'm bringing it up. The American public wants to know why a guy with that kind of physical build who did kettlebell tournaments could be subdued by a woman. Mm. And you know, Melissa, the harder question here.
Tell me.
The harder question here is,
I missed that.
Why was Mr. Sands aroused in the first place? Oh. How is that possible if,
right.
you know, if
right.
it was not consensual?
Right.
And according to what we've heard so far, she had a nickname for him in the chats they had. Do you know what it is?
No.
She called him Wolf.
Mm.
Oh, Wolf!
That's right, that's right. Maud is what she went by in that transcript of the chat obtained by the Dispatch
yes.
earlier this year.
Maud.
Maud? Mm-hmm. Maud.
It's
such an awful name. I mean, who is this creature?
Yeah, I mean, okay, some people on Snapchat were mentioning that. Like she couldn't have picked, I don't know, like, a better name to go by.
It reminds me of my great aunt or something.
Right? Same. Same.
Maud!
Maud.
More like Maud to penetrate.
Oh my god!
Maud to penetrate.
Maud to penetrate.
Maud to penetrate. Seriously, a hashtag, yes!
Oh my god.
Well, I'll be trending later.
Yes, follow me back, Melissa.
Will do. All right. Back on the Melissa Hope track, straight and narrow. Meryl, break it down for me. How is Twitter reacting to all this uncertainty? Now, what's the general consensus out there among the top voices in America? Now, give me their reactions.
2. Did anyone watch at Melissa Hope's show tonight? Hashtag Maud to penetrate is a stroke of genius. A consensual, nonviolent stroke. Daniel Tosh, 315 comments, 710 retweets, 3,500 likes. At Pulitzer Prize, please give at Melissa Hope the big P for naming the lady who did bad things to some dudes. Hashtag Maud to penetrate. Fat Jew, 35 comments, 170 retweets, 534 likes. My heart breaks for the hashtag Maud to penetrate victims and their families sending so much love and prayers and strength. Taylor Swift, 685 comments, 56,000 retweets, 742,000 likes. Conflicted about hashtag Maud to penetrate, why was this married father of two drinking with a random woman in the first place? Meghan McCain, 229 comments, 676 retweets, 2,500 likes. Moment of silence for victims of hashtag Maud to penetrate tonight at my MSG show. I am here and will fight for you. You are not alone. Be strong. Lady Gaga, 1,100 comments, 38,000 retweets, 990,000 likes. Writing a memoir on my horrible experience being attacked by hashtag Maud to penetrate. Stay tuned for updates on publisher, date, etc. Sebastian White, 110,100 comments, 150,000 retweets, 280,800 likes. Controversial writer, blogger, and hashtag Maud to penetrate victim Sebastian White is writing a book, and we are equally horrified and thrilled. Jezebel, 23,100 comments, 86,200 retweets, 171,200 likes. I'm just going to say it. Men, enjoy a taste of your own medicine. Hashtag Maud Esther. Laura Marie, 115 comments, 610 retweets, 1,233 likes. When it comes to violence against men, some people are actually saying what many have been thinking. Men are getting what they deserve inside the bizarre world of hashtag Modesters. Bitch Magazine, 64 comments, 301 retweets, 609 likes. Read my latest piece in The Atlantic on a brewing cult calling themselves the Modesters and how generations of violence and abuse against women has inevitably led to this moment. Hashtag Maud to penetrate. Jill Fitzpatrick, 115 comments, 610 retweets, 1,233 likes. This Modesters shit is the scariest witch hunt of them all. Feminist bullshit. 77 comments, 324 retweets, 1,001 likes. Young woman drugged and raped on university campus. Authorities are looking for a white male in his early 20s. Contact at Chicago Police with any information. Chicago Tribune, One comment, zero retweets, one like. What's worse than hashtag mod to penetrate? Hashtag literally nothing, I have no jokes, this is horrifying. Jim Gaffigan. 699 comments, 23,600 retweets, 232,000 likes. False. Hashtag mod to penetrate is not part animal. At least, not that we know of. Snopes. 1,500 comments, 44,000 retweets, 200,000 likes. Can a man be raped? Some say not possible. Join the hashtag mod to penetrate debate tonight on Facebook Live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Facebook. 44,600 comments, 100,000 retweets, 885,000 likes. Yes, men can get raped. There is no hashtag mod to penetrate debate, only rape. Teen Vogue. 2,900 comments, 12,000 retweets, 200,000 likes. Yo, dudes cannot get raped. Trust, not possible. Someone is lying. Hashtag hate mod to penetrate debate. Kanye West. 10,900 comments, 444,000 retweets, 1.1 million likes. I remember when I was told by someone that I was going to get raped for smoking pot. Leah Sky 15, 0 comments, 0 retweets, 0 likes. My new album is written for the victims of hashtag mod to penetrate. Donate to my Kickstarter fund today. Amanda Palmer. 2,900 comments, 8,000 retweets, 12,800 likes. Simon & Schuster acquires Sebastian White's forthcoming memoir, Revenge Rampage, for a historic six-figure deal. Publishers Weekly. 599 comments, 1,000 retweets, 4,901 likes. Read Jonathan Safran Foer's new short story, Maud in the Medusa of a Man's Arousal, in our summer issue. The New Yorker. 139 comments, 123 retweets, 2,000 likes. How do you politely tell your mother's friend, who is trying to be helpful, I was raped. It doesn't matter who sleeps in my bed. Cats for life. One comment, 0 retweets, 3 likes. Read my latest piece, The Inequality Game, How We Talk About the White Hashtag Mod to Penetrate Victims Compared to Jamar Sands. Sean King. 875 comments, 1,100 retweets, 321,000 likes. Hold the ones you love near and dear today. Hashtag Mod to Penetrate. Oprah Winfrey. 5,800 comments, 6,700 retweets, 321,000 likes. Join our hashtag mod to penetrate panel of experts tonight to discuss the heated topic of male rape, 8-7 Central on at Fox News. Sean Hannity, 4,600 comments, 502 retweets, 111,000 likes. Pray for the sins of the hashtag mod to penetrate men with us. National Review, 401,000 comments, 467,000 retweets, 1.2 million likes. We will be protesting outside Brown University today, where sinner Donald Ellis will be speaking about sexual assault. Westboro Baptist Church. 15 comments, 33 retweets, 180 likes. Don't worry, we are working with Greatest to catch Monster Mod. Disgusting. America has best, most amazing experts. President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. 786,000 comments, 1.6 million retweets, 5.8 million likes. Breaking. Man comes forward as fifth victim in hashtag mod to penetrate attacks. Associated Press. 50,000 comments, 163,000 retweets, 1.8 million likes. 46-year-old Michael Parker of Shelburne, Vermont, is the latest victim in a string of unsolved violent sexual crimes by a female perpetrator. BuzzFeed. 1,200 comments, 12,000 retweets, 17,400 likes. Michael Parker says he was violently attacked by hashtag mod to penetrate, but many remain skeptical. CBS News. 8,000 comments, 81,000 retweets, 404,000 likes. Everything you need to know about trans criminal Michael Parker, formerly Michaela Parker. Christian Daily. 36,000 comments, 222,000 retweets, 800,100 likes. I'm sorry, has anyone seen the arrest sheet on this lady Michaela Parker before she decided not to be a lady anymore? She is a former homeless prostitute. Fake news won't tell you this. Hashtag mod to penis rape. Alex Jones, 199 comments, 2,300 retweets, 4,000 likes. Trannies are mentally ill people who need psychological help, not your sympathy. Hashtag mod to penis rape. Gavin McInnes, 2,000 comments, 12,000 retweets, 105,000 likes. What if Michaela Parker is mod and raped herself? Possible, since I hear she has a pussy and penis. Mike Cernovich, 210 comments, 1,000 retweets, 215 likes. There is a special place in hell for people questioning Michael Parker's honesty based on his sex assigned at birth. Very special place. Roxanne Gay, 444 comments, 555 retweets, 5,600 likes. Mods all, I'm not going out tonight. I'm just going to stay home, Netflix and rape. Whitney Cummings, 201 comments, 3,900 retweets, 9,900 likes. The news got you down? Exercise will get you up. New Fabletics sportswear for 20% off by using promo code 3344 7DH now through Sunday. Kate Hudson, 50,000 comments, 200,000 retweets, 5.8 million likes. Did you know 80% of trans people suffer from mental illness and 3 in 5 have been incarcerated? Hashtag facts matter. Hashtag mod to penetrate. Breitbart News. 2,800 comments. 133,000 retweets. 453,000 likes. Investigators still have no leads in hashtag mod to penetrate case, insiders say. Los Angeles Times. 675 comments. 280,000 retweets. 5.8 million likes. Pressure grows to find more evidence on Michael Parker's allegations before counting him as an official hashtag mod to penetrate victim. NBC News, 7,000 comments, 16,100 retweets, 31,200 likes. Liberals and conservatives can't even agree on Michael Parker. How can they agree on the national debt? Business Insider, 210,000 comments, 677,000 retweets, 2.3 million likes. Hashtag mod to penetrate victim turned activist Donald Ellis holds rally in Watertown to support victims of sexual assault. New York Daily News, 56,000 comments, 145,100 retweets, 256,000 likes. Op-ed, Michael Parker, a tricky story with an even trickier narrative. Hashtag mod to penetrate. Washington Post, 210,000 comments, 677,000 retweets, 2.3 million likes. You say tomato, I say Michael Parker was not raped. Let's call the whole thing off. Hashtag mod to penetrate. Bill O'Reilly. 14,200 comments. 22,500 retweets. 156,000 likes. I have seen the most awful things tweeted at Michael Parker recently. Do you people have no sense of decency? Leave the man alone. Ann Curry. 76 comments. 140 retweets. 210 likes. The bullying needs to stop. Michael Parker is a person, not a punching bag. Chris Hayes, 45 comments, 50 retweets, 176 likes. We must end the gender shaming of victim Michael Parker. Join the conversation and resist. IRL on Facebook tonight, 8, 9 central, hashtag I stand with Michael, hashtag say his name. Women's March, 155 comments, 2,300 retweets, 10,000 likes. On today's show, trans women who have also been assaulted and not believed. Wait till you hear these stories. Hashtag, I stand with Michael. The Wendy Williams Show. 108 comments, 57 retweets, 1,000 likes. The best tweets from celebrities about hashtag mod to penetrate victim Michael Parker. HuffPost. 26,000 comments, 117,000 retweets, 150,000 likes. Horrified by questioning of Michael Parker's honesty. I stand with him. Do you? Hashtag trans lives matter. Hashtag say his name. Hashtag I stand with Michael. Katy Perry. 210,000 comments. 677,000 retweets. 2.3 million likes. Now on sale. I stand with Michael t-shirts. 50% off with your next purchase. Zazzle. 56 comments, 435 retweets, 553 likes. Katy Perry says she's horrified by the treatment of hashtag mod to penetrate victim Michael Parker. Yahoo News, 33 comments, 56 retweets, 101 likes. Katy Perry stands up for Michael Parker in touching tweet. Entertainment Weekly, 176 comments, 309 retweets, 4,900 likes. Katy Perry pens heartbreaking note to Michael Parker in tweet supporting trans lives. Hello Giggles, 399 comments, 2,300 retweets, 66,000 likes. Katy Perry debuts new colorful haircut at concert benefiting trans victims of sexual assault. Hashtag mod to penetrate. Daily Mail, 1,300 comments, 2,800 retweets, 3,900 likes. Katy Perry's hairstylist gives exclusive interview on how the singer's new do sends a political message to the world. Hashtag mod to penetrate. ABC News, 340,000 comments, 1.1 million retweets, 2.8 million likes. Miley Cyrus dons new hair color inspired by the pansexual pride flag after Katy Perry's recent hair design supporting trans rights. CNN, 998 comments, 1,000 retweets, 5,200 likes. 5 easy steps to turn your hair into activism by using the LGBTQ plus spray-on stencil. Hashtag mod to penetrate. Marie Claire, 1,900 comments, 2,400 retweets, 3,300 likes. Michael Parker is the reason we need to protect our innocent children, especially our little girls. Donate now to keep American bathrooms safe. Conservative Action Fund, 103 comments, 54 retweets, 1,300 likes. Caitlyn Jenner and Jeff Foxworthy come together to discuss both sides of the Michael Parker debate on The Situation Room with Wolf Blitzer tonight on CNN. CNN, 108 comments, 57 retweets, 1,000 likes. Michael Parker, purported mod victim and subject of scandal, reported missing by family members. New York Daily News, 12 comments, 52 retweets, 364 likes. If you have any knowledge of the whereabouts of Michaela S. Parker, please call Shelburne Police Department. Shelburne Police Department. 0 comments, 3 retweets, 20 likes. Hashtag mod to penetrate victim Michael Parker found dead of apparent suicide near his home in Shelburne, Vermont. Channel 3 News. 22 comments, 23 retweets, 129 likes.
Part 7. 1. The world's gone berserk, I say to Jimmy, who's standing behind the bar drying a glass. The news is blaring on a TV, hanging by some bungee cords and old tangled Christmas lights above him. You know, that's not safe up there like that, Jim. Nothing's safe. I point to my empty glass. One more. Jimmy pours me a scotch. We stare up at the screen. Some newscaster is talking about that freak rapist lady they never found. Can't believe it's been 5 years since all that shit, I say. 5? Already? Crazy. Can't imagine being one of those guys. Those poor guys she did that stuff to. What about that one guy's poor dick? Please, Jimmy, don't bring it up. It gives me a tingling sensation. I mean, could you imagine having it rubbed to smithereens? Jimmy, enough! You're making my balls lightheaded. I'm just saying, it's my worst fucking nightmare. Having no dick? Fuck, man, come on! You're making my nuts cramp! At least you have nuts, jack-off. I throw a pretzel at him. We hear a car coming up the road. That better be Lewis with my goddamn drill bits. He coming by? Headlights hit the mirror behind Jimmy's head. We look back up at the TV. I'll bet stock in jockstraps is skyrocketed. The bell above the bar door jingles. I look over my shoulder to yell at Lewis, but it's a woman. Alone. Jimmy changes the channel. I lock eyes with him in the mirror. I push my scotch away and take a sip of water instead.
Two. Okay, close your eyes and make a wish. Honey, I'm 60 and retiring, not 6 and teething. Come on, just make a wish for your wife. You'd like it to be for you, wouldn't you? 30 years as one of the best cops upstairs.